You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. Or even exaggerating when I say I have seen Triple X porn films with better written dialogue than this film.
They're Triple X porn movies?
Yes, they're called Triple X.
Oh!
They're called porn movies.
I just wanted to make clear that I wasn't talking about the first two Triple X films in this series, but it somehow still skipped past Chris Hartman.
It did. I lived a very sheltered life.
I have a feeling if they made a porn parody of this third, this Return of Xander Cage, it would probably be a better written movie.
Yeah.
It almost would have to be by default.
It'd be off the chain, yo.
No, I do or some other
old, or it would look
cliche. I mean, they just did everything but fist bump in this thing to bring it back to like, wait, are you sure this wasn't in the 90s?
Yes.
This was made?
Early 2000s.
Yeah.
Like the first film.
This is the third film in the Triple X franchise, or so Vin Diesel hopes in his little avarice-laden heart.
Oh, I'm sure he does.
They brought out director DJ Caruso for this one, who's one of those guys you kind of started off strong in his career when he did, like, The Salt and Sea. I don't know if you ever saw that one.
Nope.
Pretty solid little film that kind of broke him wide as a feature film debut, and did some good TV stuff. But then, you know, like, did stuff that was acceptable throughout his career, like Disturbia, where you're like, well, it's a Hitchcock.
Shia LaBeouf film. Yes, yes.
Yeah. It's not terrible, but it's not, like, really that good either.
Yeah.
Eagle Eye, also another Shia LaBeouf film, not acceptable.
Well, he started going south really fast.
Yeah. I have number four, which has enough entertaining stuff in it to be worth watching, but again, it's not a very good movie.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this guy is really, like, his last movie is called The Disappointment.
How appropriate.
I suspect it's just the name for his career. This one, of course, starts off with Samuel Jackson coming in, chewing up the scenery as he's interviewing another new member of the Triple X program, which are basically extreme sports guys that he gets to be spies.
I guess so.
And you guys probably didn't even know at all who he was talking to.
He's an actual athlete, right?
He's a soccer player.
You know, I imagine
he's the best soccer player in the world.
I thought he was because he's a terrible actor.
Yeah. Yeah, do you know what his name was, by any chance?
It's Neymar.
It was what?
He's Brazilian.
Neymar?
Namor. Now that would have been awesome.
Brazilian soccer players only go by one name, and so he's Neymar.
Oh, okay.
Just Neymar.
Wow, so that way he can go right into his music career.
Yeah. So he's like Cher or Madonna.
Madonna, yeah.
Okay.
What have you.
Good for him.
You see how that works.
Yeah.
But, you know, it doesn't last very long before literally a satellite crashes on top of him and
dies.
Yeah.
Like they do all the fucking time.
So meanwhile,
millions of satellites up in space.
We'll flash to Vin Diesel, who's, I don't know, somewhere where people speak Spanish.
South America.
South America somewhere. And he does a big, like, you know, first grass skis off the top of a mountain, which, by the way, broken ankles.
Yeah. Oh, he breaks his ankle quite a few times in this film. There are several points.
Really should have.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Or his entire body, really.
And then switches to skateboarding down a massive downhill where he skateboard up the side of a bus.
Yeah.
Cool. And then, of course, you're like, oh, well, he did all this stuff just to steal a cable box so people there in the small village could watch the soccer game.
He's just
mildly racist.
Yeah, come on. They love soccer down there. Come on.
That's just a fact.
He really is. He's an extreme sports version of Robin Hood. I mean, that's what they're kind of trying to sell him as. He's the man for the people. He's against the tyrants and the corporations. He's for the rebels.
If you remember anything from the second one that he wasn't in at all, that introduced Ice Cube instead, because Vin Diesel was like, I'm not doing a sequel to that stupid movie.
No, I'm going to be in The Pacifier.
He's presumed dead. He's missing presumed dead.
Right.
But he, like, intentionally missing himself. He don't want to work for no one no more.
Mm-hmm.
But Toni Collette shows up as Ice Queen who works for, I guess, the NSA, I think they said at one point.
They say he worked for the NSA, but who knows what organization this is. They seem to be, like, an amalgamation of everything at this point.
Like, okay, we had gotten this device, the Pandora box, which is the most generic, like, supervillain, like, destruction machine name of all time.
Every five action films, you have to use that. It's like, it's in the contract.
Well, not only that, like the premise of it is that it's a thing made by our government, presumably not meant to be a bad thing. Why the fuck would you name it Pandora's Box then?
Yeah, exactly.
Just give it a cool name. We actually name, like, our weapons, like, a lot of cool stuff. You know, Shock and awe and Triton things like that. Missile, yeah, Triton missiles. Yeah, cool stuff.
But we see, like, her there in this big, expensive boardroom and, like, a bunch of, quote, terrorists. You know, use triple X type abilities to bust in and steal it and take off and then kill a bunch of people there. Among those are included Donnie Yen, who were like one of the few reasons I was excited to see this film.
I am the Force. And the Force is with me.
And Tony Jaa, another martial arts superstar from the East, who also is amazing. You ever see Ong Bak?
Totally. Yeah, yeah.
Fucking fantastic movie.
Yeah, I saw the first one.
So she comes to Xander Cage and is like, look, this thing got kidnapped by terrorists and we need you to get it back. And, you know, lucky for us, they're holding it at a rave.
Yeah.
You know?
A rave in the middle of the Philippines.
Yeah.
Which, you know, you partied a lot in your days. You know the times that you just, like, went to the Philippines?
Just for a big rave?
Just for a big rave?
I didn't, because even in my 20s, I wasn't even close to good-looking enough to be at this rave. There was just, like, you know, you must be this tall signs by, like, roller coasters. They have a, you know, a picture of Vin Diesel, and it goes, you must be at least this good-looking.
Yeah. Oh, you got to bring a lot of guns, too, and you got to break them in half for some reason to show how cool you are when you do that.
It's just one of those weird, like, little, just illogical things
that I'm crazy
do, where it's like, we'll have this party in the middle of nowhere, and like a bunch of clearly Americans, because that's what Americans do, is go to the fucking Philippines.
Well, they consider it like, this is the island where people go when they don't want to be found, or they're on the run from something. It's like, so basically, this is what the island from the second Pirates of the Caribbean movie looks like now.
Oh, cool.
It's like, that's not bad, actually. Well, probably smells better.
They also go there for child prostitution, too.
Probably.
Not bring it down, but they do not.
I'm sure there's more than a few child molesters in that
crowd.
Anyway, as it goes on, we could keep going with like every detail of the plot, but the upshot of all this is the device in question makes satellites. You can pick them and make them, use them as weapons to throw them at the Earth and, like, kill people. Of course, the problem with that being is satellites don't have heat shields on them, so the moment they entered the atmosphere, they would completely disintegrate and would be completely pointless to use as weapons.
Details. Details. It doesn't matter.
That's the least demanding.
These are super satellites.
But, you know, it's Vin Diesel and his group that he got. He's like, oh, I need my people. And who literally consist of, like, one badass, like the chick who, like, is a sniper.
You're
like, okay, she is, in fact, pretty cool.
Shooting the Trumps in Africa, by the way.
And then a guy whose whole specialty is to crash cars into things. Not to be a great driver. He's a stunt driver who crashes cars into things. You wouldn't think an overly useful, of a skill to be that useful.
Well, it seems like his specific skill is to crash cars and not die in those crashes.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because anybody can crash a car. I guess it takes skill to not die in them.
It still is like one of those, it's so niche a skill, I don't see how useful it could possibly be. And then
my favorite one,
like, you're just like, wait a minute, what movie? The DJ. They have a guy that they're with him is a young Asian guy, looks like maybe 20.
He's Asian Justin Bieber.
Whose whole skill is whenever he goes to a party, it suddenly goes off the hook. And that is like his skill. He goes up to the DJ booth and suddenly magically has all his music with him and can distract people.
The movie introduces each character with like Suicide Squad style playing cards.
Yeah, text.
And his special skill is literally fun to be around.
And there's never a point in film where you're like, he has anything else but that. You're like, oh, well, he's got to be at least really good at martial arts, too, or something.
No.
Like, nope, that's all he does. Yeah. If there's a party, which happens once in the film.
I don't mean to be racist, but, you know, he's Asian. It's like, come on, he can do a little kung fu in that. You got to be something.
I don't mean because he's Asian.
No, I mean to do something. Yeah, I thought it'd be his skill.
Give him a skill, yeah.
Certainly not the talk, which is like, oh, man. By the way, I mean, we'll get into it, but the dialogue in this film,
everyone. It would have even been okay if instead of fun to be around, is chameleon-like.
Chameleon.
So his team's all there doing their thing, and of course it's a lot of Vin Diesel, like, smirking and having a pun off with
acting doofy.
Acting really doofy with the I believe it was who was the Indian woman,
Deepika Padukone.
Who is like like the somewhat the leader of the other team that.
Her and Donnie Yen are kind of.
It's very quickly.
Gal Gadot was busy.
It's very clear to see early on that you're like, okay, these guys are obviously all going to be friends.
Yeah,
it's going to come down to that.
These are all cool. Like,
there's no way Toni Collette is not actually a bad guy in this right from the get go.
You gotta stop these assholes.
Yeah, especially in her like completely all white like pantsuit. Like clearly she's the bad guy. Yeah,
there's no question. Just from the things she says, the horribly written dialogue. Not that everybody doesn't have horribly written dialogue, but right from the beginning. She's got supervillain dialogue.
She does, and the thing about it is, like, okay, you can sell that, but she makes no effort to do so because there's nothing really for her to do other than to be that, you know, corporate evil bad guy. And it's like, okay.
There's a lot of people in here. There's nothing for them really.
Oh, sure.
Do.
Yeah. Asian Justin Bieber.
Like, the only two people worth following in this film at all are Donnie Yen and Vin Diesel, who they do give them some halfway decent stunt moments and fight moments in here.
Yeah.
You know, but not even till the third act.
Yeah, well, that's intermix of all the terrible CGI in this film.
I mean, Tony Jaa gets a few, like, look, I just slid under a door moments, but even he is not really, like, being used anywhere near as, not even close to what you presume he's there.
A lot of sliding. A lot of people are caked in Vaseline in this movie, I noticed. Yeah. Like, it's all about
and
that.
those fight scenes, like, Donnie Yen does have a couple of good moments to shine, but then it continues to be a frustration I have with big budget American studio movies in that just for whatever reason, either they either refuse to learn or I don't know why they can't film fight scenes and they just don't do it well. And it's like, watch any of the It Man movies. Like, watch anything Donnie Yen's been
guess
in
what?
From China.
Just put the camera on him and wind him up and let him go. There's no reason for all these cuts.
Yeah, it doesn't have to put the camera, walk away.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's simple.
I'll say this. I mean, the last big budget American film that we saw him in was Rogue One. And even Gareth Edwards had the, you know, the knowledge to say, we're just going to, you know, keep
the
him from a distance.
Be like, this guy knows what he's doing on screen.
But here
let him do his thing.
But here it's all quick cuts. And, like, even if it is good action, we wouldn't know. So.
Yeah, and even with the degree of the stunt work, because, you know, well, part of what you're like, this series, I guess, is supposed to separate it from the Fast and the Furious series is that they do, you know, evolved versions of extreme sports fantasy stuff. And this takes it to a point, and I barely remember anything about the first two, so maybe they did something even dumber, but this takes it to a point where you're like, guys, everyone can tell that's just not possible, like, by any degree of physics. Like, if it was possible to put skis on mountain bikes, like, dirt bikes, and like, surf with
it's
them,
water
like,
bike,
high
surf bike.
Speed going under the curl, then people would be doing that every day.
Yeah.
But obviously, you look at it, you're like, Martin goes to me at one point, he goes, what exactly is making them go? It's not like they suddenly grew paddles out of the back wheel and are spinning real fast.
It's details. You don't need to know.
If that was the thing that would have worked, whoever conceived of that would have been like, well, fuck this movie. Let's make $1 billion doing this.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, Jesus Christ, I just had the best idea. Because, you know that there would be, like, that would be all over ESPN4 or whatever it is that does extreme
sports. I don't watch sports, but
I know.
Yeah.
I know. I don't.
You need me.
But I watch enough to know,
which
is to say 0.1%, that that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
You also clearly don't watch sports because you might have missed the other big sports cameo, and the G.I. Joe character is one of the best football playing tight ends.
Oh, yeah. There's a guy that kind of set up an antagonism between Vin Diesel's character and the top military grunt guy.
And also one of the lamest examples of foreshadowing ever.
Like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's not even foreshadowing. It's one of those where he goes, I'm going to do this to you later. And then, of course, he does it and has a stupid one-liner. I mean, honestly, the one-liners in this are so bad that even Roger Moore, if he had been there, he would have walked up to Vin Diesel and just smacked the smirk off his face.
How does that grab you? No, come on. I have a little bit of appreciation for those Roger Moore quotes.
But what I'm saying is that
they knew what they were.
Any of them in here.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. The movie kind of wants to have both ways. It's like you said, where it wants to, it's like, at first it's like, okay, are they going to go like the totally goofy route where it's just going to be, you know, just kind of a send-up to all these kind of 90s action films, or is it going to be like really, really serious? And it keeps going back and forth, and then you're just kind of left going, well, I don't know how to feel about this. And then you're bored, or you're just exasperated by just how terrible everything else is in the film.
I mean, that's the biggest problem. There's a point 30 minutes in, I'm like, I don't even know if this is a spoof or not.
Yeah.
And then it becomes clear not that long after it. It's like that, like you said, they don't know. They're trying to have bits where they're spoofing and then bits where they're not, and it doesn't, it's just confusing.
Yeah.
Because what I was thinking about as he was skiing down the rainforest in dry weather.
By the way, you cannot do that.
Actual, there are things called grass skis, and they don't look like regular skis.
Okay.
they look like tank treads, kind of. They're
Makes sense.
The image I had in my mind of that was I was thinking back to, I can't remember which Austin Powers, but it's like, that's what it was making me think of. And it's like, I don't think this is what you intended for me to think of Austin Powers.
I mean, even worse, this whole thing is the most blatant money grab I've seen in as long as I can remember, because everything about this is calculated to try and set it up as another Fast and the Furious franchise for Vin Diesel.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all about trying to build up this cast and crew of people they don't have to pay a hell of a lot of money to be there. Who will keep,
you mean the YARP guy?
The YARP guy.
Or the Hound. Game of Thrones.
YARP,
I will do this, YARP.
To be his team that he can return to in later movies so he can eventually say family.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. No, well, now it's we're all X. We're all X. What the hell is that?
Yeah, it's like X takes care of its own.
Oh, yeah.
There's so many things, especially in the third act, where they really are laying it in thick that this is what this is going to be. Mm-hmm. Even down to, like, you know, the slow, loving shots, pan shots across all of them staring off at something. You're just like, come on, guys. Seriously? I mean, this is after, oh my god, there's a sequence. Several people get shot, like, in the chest.
Oh, yeah.
In the third act. And then, like, 5 minutes later, they're just kind of standing around gabbing with each other.
Yeah. Because they're extreme. That's why. They're just better than us.
That was nothing.
They're superheroes.
That's true. I mean, you can't, I just can't emphasize enough that even if you're somebody like me who can watch a lot of big, dumb action movies, like, I love half of the Fast and the Furious franchise. There's when it's done well and there's when it's done poorly. Mm-hmm. This is an example of when it's done poorly. It's just, there's even whole sequences of dialogue where people are trying to out-snappy each other that just made no sense. I kept going to Martin, what the fuck did that mean?
the G.I. Joe character in his first scene makes not one, but two Red Bull jokes.
Yeah.
In the same scene.
We want to make sure it's like, hey, I said Red Bull? Isn't that funny? Right, guys?
Yeah.
I don't know. It looks like more of a monster guy to me, but...
it makes your dick shrink, you know.
Those monster guys, those are good.
Yeah.
What was that... remember that drink in high school? I guess it's where everyone freaked out because it made your penis, like, small or something like that. Was that cocaine? I think it was cocaine.
What, the drug?
No, I don't know. It's called the drink. There was a drink called cocaine at one point.
I have no idea.
Yeah, just a little. Just gonna put a little pin in that.
I think it's pretty obvious just looking at me that I wouldn't know.
I wanted you to feel inclusive. That's all.
In fact, I have to keep adjusting my pants.
Okay. All right. Here we go. I didn't drink it. Stop looking at me.
Brag, but I only have one leg.
I did not want it to go in this direction.
You asked for it.
Yeah, fantastic. Actually, I'd rather talk about this than the movie.
I wouldn't, actually, so let's go back to the movie.
Fair enough.
Such as it is, I guess, technically a movie, and even worse, a lot of the big stunt scenes are so clearly and obviously bad special effects green screen
CGI.
Stuff.
Oh, my.
Bad CGI. You're like, what is... Like, if you're going to do things with big stunts, the appeal is somebody actually did the big stunt.
Mm-hmm.
I refer you back to Jackie Chan's career, where you're like, wow, that's amazing to watch because he really did that stunt.
Well, that broken bones,
And part of the reason, problem with later Jackie Chan career, that he started doing big stunts without actually even doing them.
Yeah.
Doing a lot of green screen. You're like, dude, you're missing the point. A big stunt is just stupid if it's just all special effects.
I mean,
I know part of the reason is probably like insurance requirements, because like there was one sequence where Tony Jaa slides underneath the car door, but I noticed specifically that the window was open, and I'm like, in Thailand, he would have just jumped through the window.
Yeah.
And he didn't do that.
Which we've seen him do many times.
Yeah.
Because he's tiny.
Well, you know why? Probably because, like, oh, he can probably get hurt here in Thailand. They don't give a shit. Right. They'll let you do anything. Yeah, sure. We'll crash a car into you, too.
Tony Jaa's never been the world's best actor, but he's trying. He's trying to be a character, even though they give him no dialogue.
I don't mean to sound, like, ignorant, but it's like, if they can't speak, if these actors who come over from, you know, like Tony Jaa, if they can't speak English that well, then just have him speak his native language and just do subtitles. Yeah. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. And just say all the characters in his team know how to speak that language. It's
that being said,
Donnie
Yen has gotten a lot better.
Yeah.
No, he's a lot better. Yeah.
I'm not sure when they filmed this, because I remember for like Rogue One seeing him on like the making the talk show circuit. I'm like, mm-hmm. I didn't know he spoke English that well.
I think 10 years ago he didn't at all. You know, it's one of those like, okay, now he does. And I mean, he's a professional actor and he's very, very good at what he does as a stunt performer. No question. He's got an imposing physical presence. He's got a lot of charisma. And obviously really the dedication, not just with martial arts, but to study the language really well and when he wants to do American films.
Yeah.
And you notice this whole thing is like covered with like a Shanghai film.
Production. Oh, yeah, the Hua Hua.
Such a cross-production. And you're looking around at this huge multi-ethnic cast.
Yeah.
A lot of Asian people in this cast specifically.
Indian,
which is technically.
I know. I'm just. Yeah.
But, and I'm like going, yeah, they're trying to have a worldwide appeal.
Yeah.
And I get it. That's fine.
That's good.
Obviously,
nice.
That's good. I would love to see that in more films. But they forgot along the way to make a good movie.
Yeah.
It's a important telltale sign that, like, when you see that many production company logos before the movie starts, it's like
something might be
going
wrong here.
Yeah. Alibaba is also a bad like that production company. Like it's like, oh.
And then Indian Bollywood kind of company?
No, it's a Chinese company. But it's a Chinese company that has a lot of money, and so they'll just throw money at like a project.
By the way, I forgot to mention the sniper girl is Ruby Rose, who's one of those names you keep hearing being tossed around lately, because her career's kind of been exploding over the last year or so.
Yeah, because she was like a no-name on Orange is the New Black, and then all of a sudden now she's like a rocket, and I actually dug her. I thought she was really good.
Yeah, she's going to be another badass in John Wick Chapter 2.
Yeah, which I was already excited for John Wick 2, but
she actually got maybe the best sequence in this whole thing is her coming out of a tree with like an unwrapping, like one of those cloth things where she unwraps it, she's shooting people all the way down. You're like, that was cool.
Because it looks real, because it actually happened. The other thing I want to just mention is that, I mean, the green screens, like, they all just have like static green screens in the background. Like, my favorite scene is like, well, there's a lot of expensive equipment you bought here. Yeah, it's behind the green screen. It's like, Jesus Christ, guys, it's not working. You know, you couldn't afford like the plane and just have it opened up, but no, it has to be a green screen. Yeah. It's just, it looks really sloppy.
There's so much
inauthentic.
Sloppy is the best way to describe this. It was just feels very hacked together. It feels like a bunch of people were like, hey, I see an opportunity to make money, and maybe we don't have to spend as much as because audiences who go to see the shit are stupid anyway. Well, I think that, not saying that for me, I'm saying that's what it felt like the people producing this movie were saying. I mean, it's $85 million, and they tried to make it look like it was $250 million. Yeah. And those seams are showing in a big way.
Yeah.
Just, if you had just taken, you know, $100,000 more of that budget and given it to a decent, like, a writer to come in and fix shit, I would have liked this considerably more, despite all its problems. But yeah, when you're getting bored during a big, dumb action movie, there's a problem.
Yep.
Yeah.
Anyway, Chris Herman, why don't you tell us your final
thoughts? It's weird because I don't really understand why they wanted to pursue this franchise again. Like, I saw the first XXX in theaters years ago, and it was funny because I actually saw a friend of mine, I think this must have been middle school, and he said, "Oh, this is going to be the new James Bond franchise." I'm thinking, okay, but the thing about this, at least the first movie, it was just so boring. Like, there's nothing particularly interesting about it. And I've only seen like the second one, like little bits and pieces on like TBS and stuff. So I was very confused. They would pursue this franchise again, but yeah, it's sloppy in all regards. The writing is terrible. The dialogue's bad. The acting's bad. None of the action is filmed all that well. There's terrible use of CGI. I mean, we just like the last few months. I mean, something like The Accountant, which had a much lesser budget, but all those action scenes were filmed really well, and they didn't have to rely on green screens. Like, why couldn't you just do that with less money? It's just, I just don't understand that. And I don't think this is going to turn the franchise. I really think this is going to bomb. I don't think this is going to attract kind of the same, Fast and Furious kind of fan base. You know, they just don't have it there.
Yeah, I am part of that fan base, and I, from the get-go, was like, I'm not interested in
that. And that's kind of the thing. I don't mean to, you know, bash on Vin Diesel, but outside of Fast and Furious and maybe some of his voice work, you know, in, like, Guardians of the Galaxy, which, you know, he says, I am Groot. I mean, all of us could do that and get paid the same amount of money. Oh, we wouldn't? Oh, okay.
just knowing it's Vin Diesel makes it.
Yeah, I just wish he would make, you know, better choices or start to, you know, like early part of his career, he would just do smaller roles again. You know, I mean, I would hope to see that from him. So, yeah, for right now, I just give this 1 out of 10 ice cubes.
Jason?
Yeah, there's not a whole lot to expand upon with that, because this is such a paper-thin premise of a movie. It's interesting, the idea of why they brought it back, because usually these things are brought back where somebody has an idea where it's like, I have an idea for a story in which this could feasibly come back, and it's a unique interview. No, this is completely generic. There's nothing unique at all about this type of story. If there was a screenwriting textbook, or every basic example would produce a movie like this. I mean, a few shining. I thought Ruby Rose did a really good job. There were moments where Donnie Yen's scenes, they did do him justice in what he's capable of doing, and so I liked a lot of those moments. Completely wasted Tony Jaa. The character of Becky was kind of funny, but I mean, yeah, overall, for the most part, like, it's just a waste of an effort to make a movie like this, and there's so many other things you could have done, other ways you could have gone with this cast. They just probably didn't really care. I don't know. I would give it 3 out of 10 athlete cameos that you guys wouldn't have recognized without me.
That's very true. Yeah. Like, who's that guy?
I just, again, like the word to describe this film, like Martin was saying to me, I just don't even have an emotion to describe how I feel about it. And I was like, I do. Embarrassment. Yeah. I felt embarrassed the whole way through this movie. And now I feel more embarrassed because I was like, where do I know that Becky character from, played by Anina Dobrev? And it's because she was in The Vampire Diaries. I was like, shit, now I have to admit I watched the first season of The Vampire Diaries.
Loser.
Yeah, well, at least I stopped, okay?
Toni Collette either got a big paycheck or she fired her agent.
No.
I hope she did.
I don't know.
We all thought she was going to be a big thing.
All she did was scowl. Isn't it weird when you watch a terrible movie like this with Samuel Jackson chewing the scenery and you're like, wow, Samuel Jackson's chewing the scenery was actually the best scene in this entire film.
It was.
Film.
Yeah.
He knows how to captivate an audience.
Yeah, you're like, wow,
even when he's not really all that great.
Not a great movie kicking Samuel Jackson out of it in the first 5 minutes.
But he's dead.
He's dead.
Wink.
There's a lot of references to other better and worse stuff. There's a lot of stuff in here that's just whole hog ripped off from other really well-known films, and it acts like, wow, look at this cool thing we just did. It's like, yeah dude, that was like, yeah, I remember there's one of the oldest bits in the world where somebody doesn't know how to use a gun, drops it, and it starts firing around and kills the people. You're like, dude, seriously, like, we saw Jamie Lee Curtis do that in the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie she was in. Come on, that's like an old bit. There's so many moments that are like that here. There's a lot of uncomfortable winks to the Marvel Universe for some reason. I don't know why.
Someone wanted to write an Avengers movie.
Superhero movies, like, they flat out name check.
First five minutes, they actually do that. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just like, what is happening here? Mm-hmm. Are they allowed to do that?
I guess so.
Like, there's insinuation that Samuel Jackson's character is turning into Nick Fury.
I mean, no. It's. I mean, even we won't. Can we say it?
No, but.
All right, fine. Yeah, yes, he very much is turning to Nick Fury. Spoiler. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay, fine.
Fine.
He appears at the end.
He appears as Nick Fury.
Huckleberry Finn's or Tom Sawyer's his own funeral.
Yeah.
Where it's his funeral and he shows up with Vin Diesel, of course, has got to sit by himself up in the balcony. And,
how you doing?
And so he can be all spread out, man, because that boy is like, my boy's going to need room to breathe.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
I know what that's like.
And, sure, drinking that cocaine.
And Sam Jackson shows up with, like, for some reason, like, one part of his eyeglasses are blacked out.
Yeah, like
and
an eye
like,
patch.
Oh, they're doing a Nick, like, he's Nick Fury. I guess that's cute, I guess. But then, like, there's a shot that, like, the angle is you can see right through.
Yeah, you see the light,
and
yeah.
You can see clearly that his eye is fine. You're like, well, then why is his glasses blacked out?
Because it looks cool.
Doesn't even make sense.
It's extreme.
Just that level, the degree... The amount of times that I went, what the fuck did that even mean in this movie? Yeah. Like, just things people say to each other. This is like when basically Vin Diesel's like, I'm not coming to work for you no matter what. And I don't even remember what she said, Toni Collette, but there's like a snappy back and forth. And at the end of it, he's like, okay, I'm working for you. And Martin and I both were like, what happened? How did the... I saw nothing in that conversation that seemed to indicate that he would change his mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is just dumb and poorly planned. And, like, even worse, Vin Diesel, when he's not being more growly, he's dorky. And that's the thing
doofy.
Is, like, he's really kind of doofy in this movie. Like, he needs to, like, it's that character from Fast and the Furious that partially makes it work, where it's all, he's always kind of more like this. And here he's like, guys.
I mean, yeah, there, and even when there's a very, like, serious scene happening, he becomes that doofier character against us, and you're just taken out of it.
But all that being said, I did like some of the Donnie Yen fight sequences in here. They're not going to even hold a candle to an actual good Donnie Yen Hong Kong film, like Ip Man or something, but there are some nice moments there, and even Vin Diesel gets a few nice, if not implausible,
ankle-breaking moments.
And I will admit that you could probably, going into this prepared for this just to be the worst thing ever, have a good time kind of just laughing at it, which you would not be laughing with it, because every time it tries to make you laugh with it, that's when you feel embarrassed.
I would give a diss in that it is the sort of thing where it's like, hey, you want to watch how bad this movie is, and it's like, you can get some enjoyment out of it that way.
I'm going to give it 2.5 out of 10 times that Vin Diesel looked like he was about to tell us about his Dungeons & Dragons character.
Oh, guys. Well, we already did. It's called The Witch Hunter.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. The Last Witch Hunter.
The last,
but
hopefully.
Not the last Witch Hunter.
Oh, no.
I bet you anything, he's going to do another D&D movie, and then it'll be revealed halfway through that his character is the Last Witch Hunter. I'll be like, oh, it all ties into that film.
He wants to build a universe.
I wonder if he's coming up with a way to, like, combine all of these where he like Multiplicity plays different characters from all these different movies.
I hope not. It does not seem past the realms of possibility at all that 10 years or so from now there'll be a movie where the character Triple X and the character from Fast and the Furious end up being separated twin brothers in the same movie.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe not even 10 years.
And no lie, I would see it, and that movie would probably make $1 billion.
And it would probably be awful.